Ventunesima settimana internazionale della critica, Dito Montel presenta il suo A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints. Ok, let's speak with Dito about this movie. Thank you for accepting the invitation. This is your first movie, a very touching movie, telling the story of a boy trying to escape from his family, his friend, and...
What is he trying to escape? when we were making the movie, I wanted to, you know, I love the place where I'm from, you know, and I think it was the thought of a kid, I gotta get out, you know, was the thinking behind it. But then there was a nice idea to come home, you know. So. I'm sorry, I'm not understanding the question so much.
You try to explain how it's possible to escape from a particular place and environment. So can you elaborate on it?
It's weird, you know. When you're a kid, you want to get out of everything, you know. And so the thought was I tried to make the movie almost like in a reverse thing, you know. If you see the film. Antonio and Monty's perspective is the film, where why would you ever want to leave? Everything is here, you know? And the character Mike O'Shea comes in, and he's almost like crack coming into the neighborhood. He's bad, you know? Like, you know, leave us alone. Everything is perfect here, you know? He's like a little alarm clock, you know? So it was almost trying to make the movie from more of Antonio and Monty's perspective. You know, you shouldn't leave here. It's perfect, you know? So I wasn't trying to paint a picture of a terrible place. I was trying to paint a picture of a place that everybody was nice and sleeping, and somebody started waking people up, messing everything up, you know?
Okay. As we know, this film has been produced by Sting. Mm-hmm. How comes that you get in contact with him?
Robert Downey was there from the beginning, you know? I had known Robert from just being around in New York, you know, and Los Angeles, and he brought down, he said, let's make a movie. And I said, okay, sounds good. And he brought down Trudy Styler and Sting, you know, both of them right away, like 3 days later. And, you know, they stayed the whole course, you know, I mean, all along the way, I'm sure they could have got a more experienced director a lot easier, you know, but luckily they wanted to go for the trip. They have the privilege to stand by you too, and not everybody has it, you know. But they also believed in it, and they didn't sell me out. And they're still here with me, and it's kind of, we fought a lot, but I'm kind of glad that we ended up all together, you know.
So about the fighting between producer and directors, did they give you some kind of specific direction on how to film it?
They were, you know, it was helpful because the book is all over the place. I had written a book, and to decide how to make the movie was tough. We had to pick one moment out of the book and build around that. So, you know, we'd go back and forth with everything from cast. You know, I didn't want any actors in my film. I wanted just kids off the street because I thought actors would mess it up. It would be like, I found this girl, she's perfect for Laurie. And they would say, we have Rosario Dawson. And I would say, no, I got a nobody. No, we got Rosario Dawson, which is great. And then you have to find a young Rosario. I was like, you know how hard that is? Everybody's looking for a teenage Rosario. Luckily, it led me to Melanie Diaz. But it kept being, you know, one, you know, Trudy came, when Robert Downey first said, why don't you should direct it? I said, talk to Trudy and Sting, see if they'll say yes. And They said, she called me up, she says, now Mr. Downey wants you to direct the movie, so make a short film with him in it this week. If I like it, you can direct the movie. So it was like all these tests, you know, say, oh my God. So I'd call Robert Downey up and I said, we're going to shoot tomorrow. And he said, what are we going to do? I don't know. And I got together, filmed with him and cut it up, showed it to Trudy and Sting, and they said, okay, you can direct it now. So there's a lot of like tests, you know, but, there was a lot of fighting, but I always felt like it was for the better of the film, you know? Sometimes you have to fight to get something, you know? So it was never like there was bad fights, but it was always, you know, sometimes, you know, over an actor or you know, they push you where you don't want to rewrite something, and then you go back and you're glad you did it. So, positive fights.
It seems to me, Dito, that you have somehow experienced what you tell in the movie, isn't it? Or maybe the screenplay is totally invented.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you know, the book was more about people, other people. It's not my story. It's about people I knew, you know? And to make the movie, we took a moment from the book and built around that, and then took different stories and mixed them up. Like in the movie, a kid, Giuseppe, he jumps in front of a train. I had a friend, Billy, who fell off the trains and died. Giuseppe is still alive, and he lives in Milano. And he's coming here right now. Actually, I'm going to go meet him in an hour. Antonio's in jail like that, but more vicious crimes. And Mike O'Shea, our friend Antonio, the real Antonio and Giuseppe's brother Angelo, got killed the way Mike O'Shea died in the movie. But Mike O'Shea is alive and lives in England. So we mixed up stories, but the emotions were all there, you know, and the feelings of to me, it was just a story of kids, any kid, you know, and I just borrowed from different points of the book to make it like that. You know?
Mm-hmm. This is a coming of age story interpreted by a brilliant casting, just to mention Robert Downey Jr., Rosario Dawson, and Channing Tatum. How is it to work with this kind of actor who pull all their hearts in the movie? Did you have to keep them into control, or just you left them free to do what they wanted?
Well, you know, it's a combination of both, you know. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, everybody just went crazy, but they're really talented, and at first sometimes I would there's a scene like in the bathroom between Chaz Palminteri and Shia LaBeouf, the kid, the father and son, and they really get heavy, you know, and I was afraid of them screaming too much. I was like, sometimes I like that, but I thought, so I kept telling them to do it real quiet, relaxed, you know, and they wanted to go crazy, and I said, okay, do it once crazy, and then we'll do it the other way, and we ended up using crazy, because something like, sometimes it's, I think it's okay to go for it, you know, sometimes it's nice to pull back, but they went for it, and that Chaz was grabbing him, and we were in a little room, you know, and right in each other's faces, and Eric Gauthier is a cinematographer. He shot Motorcycle Diaries, and he's in there with his camera. And I'm saying, come on, Chaz, kill him, kill him, throw him against the wall. So Chaz is like, so then finally he grabs Shia, you know, and he goes, let's give this guy what he wants, and like smashed him into the wall. And I was like, this is great, you know. So sometimes it was like just getting into each other's heads and fighting. But sometimes, you know, they were really talented, you know, and there was a lot of kids off the street, too, that were talented, too, you know, mixed everybody up, and you know, you can't control too much making a movie. You should have a little fun. Marks is boring, and you know, exclamation points, too much, you know.
Okay, the next question is only for those who are the writer and the director of the movie, and that is your case. Which are the differences between what you had in your mind and then what you have written and what you have directed, in fact? For example, the final cut, if you
want. Oh, it's very much, you know, it's in some ways very similar, some ways very different, you know. When you write anything, any person, I don't care if it's the story of you know, anyone, the Sophia Loren, the second you write the story, or a person, a character, you hand it off, and it's gone. That person doesn't exist anymore, you know. And it's kind of tough at first when you really feel close to some people you wrote about. For me, Antonio, 5'7", he's from Naples, and he's kind of mangly looking, you know? Channing Tatum shows up, he's from Alabama, and he looks like a model, you know? And I thought, oh no, you know, this is gonna be wrong, you know? And then we were looking, thinking, okay, how's it gonna work? And we thought of the character being more like from Mice and Men, you know, a big guy that he might accidentally snap your neck, you know? And it changed the character a lot from somebody, you know, that was very smart and you know, to a guy that was just little Mice and Men, like he meant good, you know? So when you write you know, you fill up your script with exclamation points and all these things, and you're worried because I want to make sure everybody knows this is important, so you put all this stuff. And then when you go to the set, you film it, and sometimes just the eyes makes you throw away a whole page of dialogue that you thought you couldn't live without. But the person just, you keep the camera on them 3 more seconds, and you say, oh, I don't need that whole page now. You know what I mean? And that's the fun, the magic of movies, you know?
About distribution, do you think it will be distributed in the U.S. and also in Europe? You have some idea on it?
Yeah, I know it opens in the U.S. on September 29th. And I know it's opening in a bunch of different... I think they sold Italy today. And I know Latin America is sold, and UK, you know, I don't know about that, I hope. But I think so. I think it seems like they sold just about everywhere. So I'm excited. You know, the first thought we had when I first wrote this, you know, I met Carlos Cuarón, who wrote Y Tu Mamá También, you know, and he read it and he said to me, I know Giuseppe. I grew up with him in Mexico City. And that made me really happy because I could care less that this takes place in New York. I love New York, but, you know, I understand Brokeback Mountain, and I'm not a gay cowboy. You know, this story is the story of kids anywhere. I think they will. Someone will look at it, and you could be in Yugoslavia, for all I know, and say, I know Antonio, you know? And that was the point, so it's exciting, you know, to be here with them, you know, because some people come up to me and say things like that, and it makes me feel good, you know? That's the point of making a movie, you know? Who cares about your personal thing, you know?
Okay, last but not least question, about your future plans?
I have a book coming out in February called The Clapper, about a guy who claps in America. They have TV shows sometimes that are in Los Angeles that are just so bad, nobody will go to them, so they pay these people like $40 to clap in the audience to pretend they enjoy the film. So it's about a guy named Eddie Crumble, who's the clapper for TV shows, you know.
Okay, thank you, Dito, for
thank
interviewing.
You very much.